InfoWars. First, they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they attack you and want to burn you, and then they build monuments to you. Nicholas Klein, Union Speech to Amalgamated Clothing Workers of America in 1914. In a real coup for our family education model, our family, without distractions from the hustle and bustle of the typical daily planned life of most Americans, watched closely and attentively to President Trump's unlikely victory in 2016, the dubious Ukraine phone call transcript fabricated by Adam Schiff, the impeachment hoaxes, the unsubstantiated criticisms of President Trump calling him a racist, traitor, and a criminal. We watched every debate. We watched C-SPAN, sessions in Congress. We watched rally speeches. We watched Representative Pelosi tear up her copy of President Trump's State of the Union speech, a felony. We watched sections of the southern border wall constructed. And we watched hundreds of members of the U.S. Congress try to block the construction of that aspect of national defense. Having spent 18 years in Tucson, where my two oldest daughters were born, where I owned a business in Nogales, and having lived 5 minutes from the Tohono O'odham Reservation, I have firsthand experience with the situation in the southwestern United States, and the misinformation about the open border being safe hit a soft spot for our homeschool. My mother's car was torched in front of our home in Tucson. The body language I observed in Tucson indicated that many people there didn't like me despite having never met me. I'm 6'3", white, family first, male, and heterosexual. As the 2020 election cycle unfolded, we had a front row seat. My entire family was mortified to see 2020 and 2021 unfold, most notably that the deep state and New World Order would stop at nothing to make sure that the American people remained unplugged from their own treasury, and that an America First candidate would not take office. When the counting stopped, our hearts jumped. When the poll watchers were kept out of centralized counting facilities in key swing states, our hearts sank. When judicial recourse was not available to supporters of President Trump, our minds became demoralized. Despite how painful that rigged 2020 election was for us to watch, it was also a great learning opportunity for my children because, as a good friend used to say, you can't win a game if you don't even know you're in one. In our homeschool, we try to maintain a free speech ethic. It's difficult at times when the youngsters use foul language, but nobody ever said being principled was easy. As a parent, when the kids do that, you have to learn to take advantage of the opportunity. Swear words and vulgar language have a place in our society, but the art of language is figuring out when to use these words, which means figuring out when their use has some kind of good impact in our world. The same holds true for difficult or controversial or even dangerous ideas. After listening carefully to Alex Jones for 20 years, the advantage of hindsight informs us that powerful systems have been created dishonestly and they can only persist and thrive when the truth is suppressed. When I was in the sixth grade, I remember my mother mentioning that the New World Order would eventually come for all Christians and that Seventh-day Adventists would need to run for the hills to stay safe from the tyranny. For some reason, that always stuck with me. Then, one day, I was driving my car, listening to the radio. It was a blistering hot Arizona day. The heat, oppressive, even as the AC blasted inside the cab. I was in the midst of a traffic jam, breathing in the exhaust of hundreds of other cars mixed with the desert-blown dust, squinting to block out the sun's reflections on the curved corners of the cars in view. Of all the places in the U.S. for Alex Jones to be broadcasting, Tucson, Arizona was not one I would expect. However, there he was, bellowing out his warning on the airwaves of Tucson. At first, the gruff voice creates a translucent veneer over the information he harbors. But over time, he's able to paint a mental picture through dissertation. His information is a proposed model over the world, and a model's value is measured by its ability to predict. The principles in the U.S. Constitution are for living, not just reading about. Free speech exists in the listener more than the speaker. It's the listener who must put up with a litany of terrible ideas in hopes of correcting the mindset, one of the main benefits of free speech. That's a lot of work. Alex Jones is at times loud, abrasive, far-fetched, but he deserves a voice too, and a fair assessment of the quality of information that he helps spread. Also, for your consideration, when studying philosophy and critical thinking, it's more vivid for the students if the issue is somewhat controversial. That makes it more memorable. Alex Jones is a wellspring of carefully selected and dutifully curated controversy that has helped the American public learn a great deal about itself. InfoWars content is a regular staple in our homeschool. Perhaps the most valuable thing about InfoWars is that you'll get information from nearly every other source. Jones doesn't discriminate, but he's also not shy about professing his own worldview. In one moment, you might be annoyed by his Bible thumping. In the next moment, you might shed a tear at his courage exposing critical information that could get him and others killed by a psychopathic global leadership structure too impatient to allow humanity to chart its own course collectively. Alex Jones is a deeply flawed individual. He's paid for abortions for girlfriends. He's participated in sordid sex as a young person. He's nearly killed people fighting in the streets of Dallas. He's been divorced. He smokes cigarettes and swills whiskey. His delivery is gruff and often pompous, and yet he's also extremely high IQ. Alex had been well informed from a very early age about the truly dangerous and stunning endeavors of global leadership. His stamina is incredible as he gives dissertations for more than 4 hours every day. His work ethic is unmatched by anyone in media. I'm a firm believer that if social media, push-button abortions, and phone cameras were around in the age of Teddy Roosevelt, Alex Jones and Teddy Roosevelt would be nearly indistinguishable, and that President Alex Jones is a distinctive possibility. Alex Jones famously claimed that atrazine was turning the friggin' frogs gay. To this day, he is mercilessly ridiculed for making the statement and was labeled all the usual slurs: misogynist, racist, homophobe, frogphobe. But as is often the case with Alex Jones, when you read the story completely and follow the links, a story emerges supporting Alex Jones's assessment. When I did, I discovered the work of a rather small, rotund, long-haired, somewhat effeminate professor at UC Berkeley. His study focused on atrazine's effects on the sexuality of a frog population. As he was being interviewed on the news, two male frogs were literally having sex behind him in the frog tank. In Waco, Texas, a group of Seventh-day Adventists were attacked by the U.S. federal government. 76 Branch Davidians, including 25 children, two pregnant women, and David Koresh himself, were ruthlessly murdered. At Ruby Ridge, multiple people were shot by agents of the U.S. government to serve a firearms warrant. In the Gulf of Tonkin incident, a fake attack was staged that resulted in the U.S. being pulled into the Vietnam War. The USS Liberty was strafed by Israeli military forces as 34 U.S. servicemen died and over 171 were wounded, after which the U.S. concluded for a short time that Russia was responsible. The CIA ran Operation Mockingbird to take over U.S. media outlets to give control of American mindshare to intelligentsia. The Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis among blacks in the South by U.S. Public Health Service, wherein syphilis was allowed to progress in patients who thought they were receiving real medical treatments. There is significant justification for questioning the actions and communications of the government. In the case of Sandy Hook, Alex Jones, in real time, raised questions about the circumstances surrounding Sandy Hook. After the broadcast, Jones was pressured to apologize for his comments. Subsequent to that, global intelligentsia pushed a narrative through all available channels that Alex Jones denied children were killed, which eventually morphed into the notion that Alex Jones was somehow responsible for the attack. Relentlessly, U.S. media continued to surface the pain of that event to the parents of the children who died there, as a deep state legal offensive pressured the parents to sue Alex Jones for his comments as defamation. Through a compromised judicial circuit that did not allow Jones to constitutionally, lawfully defend himself, he was found guilty, and an enormous award was proclaimed by a jury that was instructed by the judge. If they couldn't control Alex Jones through advertising pressure, they would try to destroy InfoWars through other means, not caring of the damage to justice in America. One undeniable strength of the InfoWars program is its willingness to allow guests on the show regardless of agenda or affiliations. Issues have many sides and decisions have many ramifications for others. Alex Jones brought group leaders together through his channel to give a voice to the affected and inform decision makers. One such guest that changed the course of American history was, among others, Dr. Francis Boyle. Dr. Boyle authored anti-biowarfare legislation that was unanimously approved by Congress and signed into law by President G.H.W. Bush. In the interview, he claimed that COVID was a bioweapon made in a North Carolina lab, then shipped to Wuhan, China. Among other things, he articulated the origins of Dr. Fauci and the dangers of his work posed to humanity, modifications to AIDS and HIV. Dr. Boyle recommended against taking the experimental COVID-19 shots. Our family did not take any of the shots, and we conducted our lives almost perfectly normal through the pandemic with zero interruptions in our progress educationally. Another is Dr. Peter McCullough, the most published cardiologist in the world. His statements regarding vaccine injury and death informed our family as to the dangers of taking the technology. And Dr. Mikovits, who worked with Dr. Fauci in the area of AIDS research. She was an expert on the technology that was being developed through biowarfare initiatives of the U.S. government. Her testimony on Alex Jones' show regarding the character, purpose, and trustworthiness of Dr. Anthony Fauci were instrumental in the decision of many not to vaccinate. If you want to control someone's mind, you need to control the information that is put into the senses of the body. In a previous chapter, we've established how that works. Now, let's pick up a bigger brush for some broader brushstrokes that can be applied to society at scale. Working our way back from the eyes and ears, the television is a medium through which information can be injected into the minds of millions of people at once. Who decides what information comes through that television? Is it the artist? Is it the patriot? Groups of people get together to compete for dominance in the market, and they're called corporations. Corporations hire people to open channels to people's minds through television, newspapers, and radios. Then, information about a product is injected into those channels that eventually reaches the human minds on the other side of the screens. Some corporations sell toothbrushes, some sell televisions, some sell clothing, some sell food, some sell transportation, some sell housing, and so on. Other corporations deal in politics, which is directly upstream of the laws that are created. Corporations learned that they don't need to convince people of product quality if they can create favorable laws for their products. If you think about it, there's really only one best product in any given industry. That product, in theory, should win as long as they hold that mantle. If a corporation becomes lazy and complacent, a new corporation can come along and knock them off the hill. This makes corporations nervous, and they sought to protect themselves from this eventuality by creating laws that favor them and their products. Consider the standardized testing industry. If they can get the state to create a law mandating that all students take their tests, other methods of education will struggle to compete to change the paradigm despite having a better educational product. The news that is published alongside entertainment and advertising and media, changes people's opinions toward politics and law, and corporations learned that they can affect the news and information published through mainstream media by threatening to take away the advertising dollars of a newspaper, radio station, or television station. In effect, corporations advertising with media outlets can use their advertising dollars to shape the minds of people about issues other than this product or that product. It creates a dangerous situation, since the profit motive of the corporation does not always benefit the health and well-being of a society. Alex Jones and InfoWars detached this model brilliantly by creating a line of vitamins that helped energize their audience. At the same time, he encouraged his audience to use its newly found energy to seek the truth and break out of the information control grids of the mainstream media. But the most important effect that it had was that his business model gave him freedom. He didn't have advertisers. He sold products directly to consumers that improved their lives as he focused heavily on making the very best products. As Alex Jones and his team dominated and secured the vertical supply chain for his products, revenues kept his enterprise growing, and he had the freedom to say what he felt regarding the issues of the day. He became his own sponsor and secured his freedom of speech in an increasingly fascistic environment in the United States, wherein global corporations controlled most of the media narratives affecting the minds of U.S. citizens in a manner that was against the interests of the Republic. Alex Jones's philosophy is to allow many voices to broadcast through his channels. For instance, on Friday, he has a call-in show where an amazing normal people call in with opinions, observations, and input. The interviews on Alex Jones's show are also amazing. I learned about Bill Binney, Bill Cooper, Francis Boyle, Judy Mikovits, Sherry Tenpenny, and countless other amazing people from all walks of life and faiths and colors. Alex Jones's guests are the secret sauce of his show. While other major news outlets are censoring around carefully crafted narratives, Alex Jones is seeking alternative viewpoints and allowing alternative viewpoints on the show. Through all of that, he doesn't try to mask his own views like a chameleon. An important lesson I learned while watching Alex Jones interact with his guests is a kind of hybrid Socratic method that typically does not insult or intimidate his guests. He's able to express his viewpoint in an understandable way to someone without condemning the viewpoint of his guest or audience or the target of his dissertation. There are some steadfast views held by Alex Jones that he does not sugarcoat: genital mutilation, drag queen story hours in libraries and schools, and the Q movement, to name a few. Here's a list of items we've purchased from the InfoWars store, all of which I have taken myself, some of which I've given to my family for health and vitality. Washington's Reserve Cannabis Oil. Sorry, Alex. Cold-pressed krill and ultimate fish oil. Brain Force Plus. X2 and X3. B12, DNA Force, Winter Sun, VasoBeat. This is just a short list. We've purchased thousands of dollars in products from the InfoWars store, and I highly recommend that you do your research, make your own decision, and see if you come to the same conclusion that I did. That stuff coming from the InfoWars store is the bomb.